several meetings, and it seems like, they pick up the slack, and I always say I appreciate that from the bottom of my heart. And sometimes I serve at the will and pleasure of these judges in Superior Court, and when you're in a role, you can hold people as long as you see fit. Sometimes I get caught in a whirlwind. With that being said, I'll just call the meeting to order. First issue, or first item to address is approval of the agenda. Is there a motion to approve the agenda?
I saw move.
Second.
Motion's been made, properly seconded. I don't think we need to go through the questions. I can go through the formalities. Any questions? Seeing none, all those in favor, indicate by a vote of aye. Motion carries. Action item.
We need to do the minutes on page two.
He's going to.
That's next on the.
That's next.
That's next on the item.
Oh, it's next.
Yeah.
You're fine.
Oh, you're right.
Okay. There is the issue of action items.
Yep.
Approval of October 17, 2019, Core and PLCAC meeting minutes.
That's what I passed out. You all have in front of you. If you haven't reviewed them already, if you'd like to give them a quick review. Can you make a motion when you're ready, Chair?
Make the motion to go ahead and approve the October 17 meeting minutes.
So move.
Is there a second?
I'm not finished reviewing.
Have we ever had a representative for the Portland Board, a full Portland Board?
Larry Longo used to be a Portland Board CAC member. Yeah, but he moved out of Portland Board. He moved to unincorporated Champaign. So he can.
Second motion.
Motion's been made, properly seconded. Any questions? Seeing none, all those in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Motion carries. Second action item is the amendments to the 2018-2021 TIP.
Okay, there are TIP amendments for 6 projects that we received from GDOT. I will just go over each one of them over here. First of all, the US 80 bridges replacement to Tybee Island. The right-of-way cost has increased by about $922,000. So currently the local is still the funding sources. So Tybee Island is still the local sponsor. So they will come.
Is this the bridge over, excuse me, is this the bridge over Lazarena?
Yes,
or
and over? Both.
Okay.
Yeah, so the right-of-way cost has increased a little bit, $900,000. And it still stays in fiscal 2020. It won't change. But apparently Tybee cannot come up with this money, so we will try to identify additional funding sources for Tybee between now and the June.
Excuse me,
let me
push that was $1 million.
Yeah, the reason that GDOT gave is environmental constraints within the right of way. My understanding is they have different alignments. The previous one might be aligned to the north, but now they're considering alignment to the south that will impact some of the, like, high-rise buildings or something.
So it's the people gouging this for more money, is that, or simply the workers just regret it's more land they need before, or something about the land, but just the price for it is higher?
Right now, I really don't know. The GDOT answer is environmental constraint. So my understanding is either because of the alignment, more land will be needed, or the previous cost estimate is just not accurate. So that happens too. So right now, just this is the.
Probably gonna come out of the south side of the route where there's more land, real estate to impact, and it's just a matter of more land costs more. It's their private property, they have a right to be paid for it.
Yeah, but right now, we just don't know which part of the land will be impacted, but.
They generally try to, you know, the engineers for DOT try to design something to where it is minimizes taking.
Yes.
So I guess we gotta trust them, but.
So, I mean, this number might change again, we don't know in the future, but this is for now, in December, this is what they requested, that we just increase the right of funding. And then this.
What additional sources could the county access, or could the city of Tarby access to pay for it?
We talked about it, cause we have the highway, I think we didn't mention last time in October or September, we in our area actually received some highway infrastructure program funds, HIP funds. So fiscal year 2018 funds is about like 1 million, and then fiscal year 2019 funds is about 1.3 million. So apparently the local government, whoever applies for that fund, have to come up with the local match. So what we are going to do is in February, you will also see the package, we're going to do a call project for those funds, because we have to obligate those funds very soon. So basically, currently Tybee will come up with $280,000. So we are thinking maybe when we issue the call project, Tybee can apply for that HIP funds, and then the 280 can be used as local match. So that's one part. Another part, I mean, they can go to GDOT to see whether they have a House Bill 170 funds, or if they have federal dollars that can come. So just we need to work with GDOT.
Explore.
Yeah, to explore different funding sources.
But what if we could do it soon?
Hmm?
That would be done soon, right?
Yeah.
Can't wait.
Well, right now, this project is still going in the environmental process. So before the right-of-way funds can be authorized, you have to make sure your environmental document has got approval from Federal Highway Administration. Otherwise, you cannot. You have certain steps you have to achieve before you can obligate the funds. So what we are trying to do is just push them, so get the environmental done, and then we have the funds that we can obligate.
Okay.
The second project that we are going to amend is the Brampton Road Connector project. This project, the environmental process is behind schedule, so we have to just push the construction and utility phase from fiscal 2020 to fiscal 2021. So just move it back a year. The funding cost currently don't change. And the third one and the fourth one are related to the US 17 Back River Bridge and the US 17 widening, which is in South Carolina portion. So because this is just most of the project is conducted by the South Carolina DOT, because it's like widening US 17. But it will connect to our area. So that's why Georgia DOT comes in. But apparently these two DOTs haven't reached this kind of agreement, fund agreement yet. So that caused the project delayed a little bit. And also I think based on the status report from the Genie, I think from the low country area, LATS, this project is behind schedule right now. So it's got delayed. So I think it's both on South Carolina side, it's delayed. And in Georgia side, they haven't reached agreement yet.
They had some cost increase on the
cost increase as well.
And they had to deal with that.
Yeah.
Had to deal with what?
They had some cost increases.
They
on their
side. Didn't have the money, yeah.
I can't remember. I've been through there, but how many lanes is the Back River Bridge?
Everything's just one each way.
Yeah.
One each way.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So what Ridge, South Carolina DOT is going to build two lanes, and then when that bridge is built, and then the current project will just still go, just travel south, two lanes will travel south, and the new bridge will have two lanes travel north, that way.
That's good.
Yeah, so for these two projects, because of the delay, and we have
maybe people won't die.
Yeah, and then we just have to move the construction to out of the TIP because they're not going to make it in fiscal 2021.
Because of South Carolina.
South Carolina and Georgia DOT, yeah, agreement, yeah.
No.
Yeah, okay. Yeah, so both right-of-way and construction are moving out of the TIP.
Okay.
And then the last two projects are the US 17 at Savannah River in Port West, basically the Houlihan Bridge over there, and then the US 17 at Middle River bridge replacement. There are some kind of project delay right now. The project is in design build, but there are some kind of delay. So the construction won't happen in fiscal 2020. The current schedule just put them outside of fiscal 2021 in longer range. So we're just moving the construction and utility phase into long range, basically out of the TIP, and then move the right of way to fiscal 2021 with reduced cost for both projects. So that's the same thing for this project as well, the Middle River Bridge. So right of way moved to 2021 with reduced cost, and the construction moving into longer range. Basically, those just schedule and number changes for the two projects. And then we did advertise for a 17-day public comment period because of the holiday. So we try to give people, so we don't want to count the holidays as the in 15-day range. So we want to give people extra time to review the TIP amendments. So far I received, I don't know, 8 or 7 comments. The majority of them are about US 80 bridges replacement. So people want to know why the cost increase and where the properties will be acquired, and then where the funding will come from. And then I got one comment on Brampton Road Connector project, and that one is because I got the project description from GDOT concept report. Apparently the foundation drive is no longer in the report or something, so I need to revise. I'm coordinating with GDOT to revise the project description. And then there are also a comment about the Houlihan Bridge, probably there is a proposal to relocate it to Port Wentworth and then do something else on the Houlihan Bridge. Because it's like 100 years old, it's historic property or something. So those are the comments that I've received so far. So
this comment period, how long will it last? The comment period.
The comment period, it will be until next Wednesday.
So next week it ends?
Yes.
Wednesday.
Yes. Yes, we started the comment period on the 25th, November 25th. So we give people like more than 2 weeks to comment on it, and people basically they send me emails, but if we have comments today, and we will document that as well, because it's, even if it's verbal, we still document it. Yeah, so apparently at the CompU board meeting, we will have some questions asked as well, so we will just document all of that. So we'll just ask the CEC to just endorse the TIP amendments to the CompU board. So it's not that many dramatic change. It's just project got delayed.
Bookkeeping, end of the year bookkeeping.
Yes, end of year bookkeeping, yeah, that's right.
I make a motion we approve the amendment as presented.
I second that motion.
Motion made, probably second. Any questions? Seeing none, all those in favor?
Aye.
Motion carries. On the status reports.
Do you have any of the status report sheets you usually have?
I have a few. I get them before the end. With the,
the
GDOT projects.
Yeah, GDOT distributed something today.
Yeah, if you want to review those, I'm going to grab them.
Yeah.
Grab a few of them.
Thanks.
You're welcome.
So, I think you are interested in I-16 widening and I-16 I-95.
Well, there's several I'm in, but that is one.
Okay. The thing I heard is they're going to do ribbon cutting pretty soon.
Mm-hmm.
And then the construction, if you go to the October meeting agenda, CompU board agenda, click on that one, they will you will have their presentation on those two projects there. So they'll tell you what's happening.
The one I missed.
Yes, the one that you missed. So they are going to do the construction at night. So so the daytime and the traffic wouldn't be impacted.
Okay.
Yeah. So
which is the worst, that's when you have rush.
So and then they say the tree clearing will start pretty soon around the I-16, I-95 interchange.
Yes.
And then you will see a lot of the like truck cones on I-16 early next month, right? Yeah, that's January, yeah.
Other than that, though, other than the interchange of I-69, there's probably not a whole lot of tree clearing for the I-16 widening.
Probably not that much.
It's coming out of the middle.
Yeah, they're
mm-hmm.
pretty much taking it all out.
Yeah.
I-16.
Yeah.
Sorry.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Anyway,
yeah.
Yeah. That's exciting, y'all. I'm so glad to see that happening. And
yeah, and then GDOT finally got together with the Southbridge Neighborhood Associations.
Oh.
On Tuesday night at Garden City. I was there, so it lasted about 2 hours or 1 hour and a half. So it's just like, yes, GDOT people, they came, they did the noise study. They just presented the information on the noise study, but then the people over there were still not happy because they still want sound barrier. But GDOT have already collected data, and they put the data into their model, and they have projected out noise. The worst scenario, like in 20 years or something, and it still doesn't warrant the barrier.
Any kind of attenuation? No kind of sound attenuation?
I think they are proposing like 3 sound barriers, but they're still trying
three
to decide if sound barriers.
Okay.
Yeah.
Sort of meaning made of what? Walls or
yeah.
Vegetation? Okay.
Yeah, yeah. So,
that's pretty
so
damn good.
Yeah, so, but they're still trying to decide exact location right now.
Mm-hmm.
So that's what the neighbors want. They just want, yeah.
More aesthetic.
Yeah, yeah, more aesthetic.
Well,
but
can't
have
both sometimes.
Yeah, the study is already done.
Thank you.
And then we evaluated it, and it is fine.
Yep.
So, I mean, that's something that I want to tell you about. If you missed that.
Those walls over there at the overpass at Georgetown, they do a good job of attenuation.
Mm-hmm.
If they get that, if Southbridge gets that, they're damn lucky.
Probably because they have my understanding is that I'm not the technical person, but my understanding is that they have some kind of a berm. So when they did the model, noise model, so some of the berm has already like absorbed some of the noise. So because of that, they're not going to have the continuous barrier walls, but they will have like 3, but exact locations to be determined still, not
mm-hmm.
final yet.
Well, you know, there's quite a bit of noise there now, and it was
yeah.
developed. People bought the houses, they moved there.
Yeah.
So
it's not
they
like
already knew. Yeah, they already knew about the noise.
Yeah, I think they're just in a tough position. They, you know, they're not going to get the answer they quite want.
Yeah.
So.
If you go and sit in anybody's backyard in that section of Southbridge,
you can hear. I'm
you
sure.
can hear the highway noise. So.
Yeah.
I don't know that it'll change that much, but anyway.
Yeah.
Okay, thank you.
Yeah, so at least they got GDOT response, because previously it's just they commented, and GDOT doesn't say we acknowledge the receipt of your comment or something, so finally.
Yeah, and Prasad was there, right?
Mm-hmm.
And
yeah,
so,
Prasad
I mean, they showed they were taking them seriously, but yet aren't necessarily changing the results and results.
Do you have any questions on these projects? I think Daniel was asking about the Bay Street, right? Bay Street widening project. I think GDOT was mentioning that the Bay Street widening project might open in January. I think that was
interesting. That's all in the January, you said?
Yeah, that's I think because right now it's 90% complete. So it should be. Should be opening pretty soon, the Bay Street widening project. Yeah,
what about, can you tell me about project number one?
Ogeechee Road widening? They're doing the right-of-way acquisition right now.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it's in our tip. So if the right-of-way is acquired and then they move along, we should see construction in the not too far distant future.
Not too far distant.
yeah, this project started in 1993, so.
Is that a design build?
No, it's not design build. But because of the right of way, Redwood was the major pushback. So it restart. So finally, this is the first time that I actually seen this Redwood acquisition is ongoing. Previously, it's preliminary, environmental, restarting environmental. So now finally, it's moving beyond that point. So now it's moving into right-of-way acquisition.
They're going to butcher it, no doubt about it, the intersection. But I don't know what you can do.
Well, they will connect to, you mean, to Bixby Drive?
They're going
to
signalize it, and they're going to extend it out, and they're going to put in a median. So anybody that's got, with no median cuts, so anybody that's got property on the northern side, if they have trucks coming from I-16 or Lyons Parkway, they have to do a U-turn at that intersection. And then at the intersection of right there where the...
Ogeechee and I-560?
Where Georgia Power's operation center.
That's Victor Drive, right?
Right, right. And that's where we're talking about, right?
I think it's, yeah, I think it's a roundabout. My understanding is...
Oh, it was. It was a roundabout, but it's not now.
No.
It's signalized.
Yeah, but when this project is going to be built, I think I have to double check the concept, but I think
well, check on it. Let me know. But I swear it was going to be a roundabout. They scrapped that, and it's going to be a regular signalized intersection. And then
unless I didn't follow up, but I thought it was going to be a roundabout over there. But I will double check. Another project is the I-16 F-307 project.
Mm-hmm.
That one, the bid comes too high, higher than expected, so GDOT is going to relet that project in June. So that is something we mm-hmm. heard today.
Thanks for getting this list. All right.
Agency reports.
No.
Any other business?
Do you want to mention the CEC?
I did receive one letter back from the City of Tybee. Their town administrator will be joining as a member of the CEC. That's what we know as of right now. I did try to get in touch with him. He left me a voicemail. I will get in touch with him again tomorrow and see how we'll move forward with that. But that's what I've received. Armand, have you received any information from anyone?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. And we can follow up on that as well.
Did you receive Effingham County? Did he mention that Effingham County identified somebody else?
Well, he said he identified someone, but we haven't received any documentation about it.
Yep.
So when we receive something via email or letter, I'll bring it to you guys.
Yeah, I think Daniel mentioned last time that we need to recruit the CEC members because we got so many vacancies.
Yeah.
So what we did is James did a presentation at the last Cornfield board meeting because all the appointing agency representatives were there. So we were just requesting that you please assign CEC members. And so that's the result. So far we got response at least from Tybee and a verbal response from
Thunderbolt.
Thunderbolt.
Did you change it from Tybee to Thunderbolt?
No, we haven't received anything from Tybee. We received information from Thunderbolt,
and
a verbal response
from
Effingham.
From Effingham County. So hopefully we will have somebody pretty soon. Yeah.
What's the process if someone to be a part of or serve on the board? Would they have to go through the county or the city or just contact them?
Wherever they live, they essentially have to get in touch with the person that's on the core appeal board, and they just pretty much make that recommendation.
Okay.
So, for example, the town administrator, I guess you can consider them the, they don't have a mayor there. They have someone else in Thunderbolt. They recommended this gentleman to be on this board.
Mm-hmm.
Same with Effingham. He sits on the core appeal board. He's technically recommending someone to be a part of this committee here. So they just have to get in touch with them and get voted upon on how it works in their jurisdiction, and then they get recommended to us.
Yeah.
Gotcha.
Each jurisdiction is different. The city of Savannah actually has a formal application process.
That's what I remember.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Yeah, yeah.
Yes, yes. But the other jurisdiction,
the city
you don't have
points.
To. Yeah.
And that's as well, but by February we should be back in our old space or something larger than this table. So you could fit three or four new people around this table.
Yeah,
include the people who normally come and not here today.
Hopefully by that time we'll be down the hall.
Yeah.
We can hope.
So, hopefully by then we'll be down there.
Other public comments? Wait.
Mm-hmm.
Any other business?
Anything from Healthy Soil?
Oh, actually, we do. Did any of you volunteered for the non-motorized transportation plan?
Yeah,
did you?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. So
and
we're gonna have
tomorrow morning.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah.
What is this now?
We're doing an update to the non-motorized plan. I talked about it at the last meeting. I wasn't able to schedule the working group meeting before this set of meetings, so it's actually tomorrow. I mean, anyone's welcome to come. It's really just kind of a roll of sleeves up and take a look at some of the maps and kind of get a feel of...
Does that include sidewalks?
It does, yeah. But we're really not...
Who's doing sidewalks on that?
It's not to that level of detail. It's not to that
okay.
level of detail,
all right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's
okay.
more like... The way the non-motorized plan is right now is there's like say pedestrian focus areas throughout the region, and then those are the areas that we kind of like are emphasizing having connectivity in the sidewalks. It's really up to the jurisdictions, I think, in my opinion, that they work on their sidewalks at it's a localized level. The MPO is really like 30,000 feet up, where it's kind of hard for us to.
Gotcha.
Manage all that inventory. So, I think some own cities have the hard time managing that inventory of their own sidewalks.
Say something. What you, one of the things you miss is that we've been told that this group will grow in size. At least 3, maybe 4 new people will be joining us all this early February. And actually, we've been backing up old space on something close to, on the other side of the building.
Right.
There'll be more of us.
Good. Thanks.
I do have some other business. So the CAC has a representative, and now you can be
the chair,
to go and present or be present at the NPC meetings.
Mm-hmm.
Because of my work schedule, it's a little hectic and inconsistent. And this is probably something I probably should have done early on. Who has the most available schedule or more flexible schedule that would be able to sit in and participate in the NPC meetings?
What day of the week is that meeting?
Normally it's Wednesday.
So
Wednesday at 10 o'clock. Yeah, normally if the chairman cannot make it, the vice chair goes.
10 in the morning?
Yes, 10 in the morning.
I think I'm the vice chair.
Yeah.
I'll be available.
Okay. next
yeah.
Wednesday. It will be in the Chatham County
commission.
And typically, I mean, if we still report what the results of the CAC are, WICOTA usually says what happened if there isn't a representative.
Yeah.
So you are represented there.
Yes, so,
just,
so, I think I got an email about that and thought I was supposed to go.
Well, I did go because I wanted to make a presentation or a statement to the last one we had.
Yeah,
right.
This is on the 11th. I got that. It's about the 11th.
Yeah.
It's 10 o'clock in the
but normally
morning.
I don't go. And I think staff is there and covers it. But we've had chairmen in the past who pretty religiously went.
Yeah.
But
you do get a vote on the appeal board.
10. 10. 10.
Yes,
it's
10. Yes.
Yeah, and you do have a voting seat.
So what staff report what happened at the CEC, that your actions taken or issues raised, but I cannot vote.
Yeah.
But but you are representative CEC, you have a vote. Yeah.
Any other business?
We do have a public meeting next week.
Isn't that on the?
It's not here because I only heard about it today. The I-95 at Airways Avenue, that study, we're going to have a public meeting on that one in Pooler, but
Was it the 11th, three to five?
Next Wednesday, but I haven't seen the written notice, so I don't know what time.
Blast the whole MPO, maybe, with it?
Yeah, is there a notice out somewhere?
Mark has it.
Okay, I can put Mark's in there.
Because I was trying to schedule that UPWP meeting, he told me it's conflicting with that meeting. But I haven't seen the, written notification.
James will send a blast out there, though.
Yeah, James will send it out.
TCC needs it as well.
Any other business? Next item is the public comments.
One public?
I've none to report. Announcements?
That's the next CAC meeting.
Next CAC meeting's gonna be Thursday, February the 6th. Why is that? I know exactly why that's ringing a bell, because I'm gonna DUI docket on February the 6th, and hopefully I should be out by 5:15, so it would be a conflict.
And hopefully we will be in that big room.
I 16 Little Neck Road Study Committee, open house.
Yeah, the consultant and MPO hosted this one this past Tuesday in Bloomingdale City Hall. Not that, that many people attended, but the consultant will collect all the comments and put it in the final report. And that study will be done by then. Well, at least the contract will end at the end of the year.
Well, do they not like it, or is it not good, or what do they think about it, the public comments about it?
No, no, it's just the consultant has several alternatives. So you have no build, I think it's a divergent diamond, and then what was the regular diamond, and then I think it's like three alternatives. So they were asking the public to which ones you like, because they actually, the consultant has already ranked all of them, but the public opinion also count. So the public just come in and tell them which one that you like. Yeah.
Any non-agenda information? Meeting's adjourned.